Good morning. What a lovely day it is. They decided to start baseball season 1 week early. I'm standing. After 1 week, I feel good. And I'm a baseball coach, if you didn't know. This is Allison Carlos. She actually is in her third year. I just found out today. I thought she was in her first year. But, wow, she's on her way out. I'll give you some more information about her later. Some of you may have already met Elizabeth. She sat right next to you a couple weeks ago. Yeah, so she's a familiar face in our house today. And it's not really our house, is it? It's God's house. And so we gather here today to worship the Lord. And we do have some announcements to start with. We could stall until Cheryl gets here. I don't know if she's going to get here, but what about Drew? Who wants to fork out some money for Drew? Don't worry about it, because I'm not forking any money out for John. Right. Yeah. 22nd of February. He was born at 2 o'clock. You realize that? 2:22 at 2 o'clock. Something else, huh? I said, just 22 more minutes. That's just, that'd be, yeah. No. 23? I guess last year was the big year, right? He was 22. Yeah. I think he's 23. I can't even keep up how old I am. Right? The math teacher reminds me every year. Nope, that's not the right sum. Bible study tonight at 5. Was there supposed to be a... Yeah, okay. Business meeting tonight at 5. And then followed by the choir practice and some prayer time. So, are there any other announcements for the good of the church? None? Sherry, Sue's niece, is scheduled to have surgery at the end of the month. For an update on Mike and Lori, she had a procedure this week. She had a very excruciating night on Friday. Things are becoming frustrating, to say the least, beyond frustrating. The chronic pain is definitely taking its toll on both of them. So please continue to have them at the top of your prayer list. And don't forget Juanita and Aubrey and William. And Donna, you have a container over here.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank
you. Yeah. Yeah. So there was a whole pew of stuff this morning to be returned from things that we had given to Mike and Lori, and they even had a bag of some goodies to give back. I mean, they so want to be here, but the pain doesn't allow that. Let us go to the Lord in prayer at this time, and then if you would join me in the Lord's Prayer as printed in the bulletin this morning. Let us pray.
Thank you.
Gracious God, we lift up to you our concerns. Lord, you know that our hearts are often heavy with the concerns of our people and the concerns of the world in which we live, one that you have created very good, yet is clearly fallen. Help us to be ambassadors of your kingdom. Help us to spread the good news that Jesus lives. Lord, we ask that you place your healing hand upon Mike and Lori. Give them a sense of peace in this storm that they currently endure. And be with Aubrey and Juanita in their absence, and we long to see their face here. And of course, we pray for Sherry and Sue. We know that Sue is probably out there soaking up the sun. We love to see her in our presence also. And do not forget all those that are not able to be here for whatever reason. And in one voice that you've called us to be united in your love and your peace, we pray as you have taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our offertory hymn this morning will be Jesus Loves Me, hymn 652. We'll sing the first and last verse of 652. Let us stand and sing.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much for all the blessings you pour upon us. Lord, at this time we simply return to you a portion of what you have given us. We ask that you multiply these gifts for the service of building up your kingdom here on earth, that it may reflect your glory in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
down. Let's have a seat. Here we go. All right. Here we go. Yeah. All right. Right here, bud. Yeah. Here we go. Whoa, 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 right here. We're trying the new entry move. I'm over here. All right, guys. Let me show you something. Look what I got here. I got something in here. I got something in here. Yeah. Look at there. Now, last week, we talked about God creating all things, and we talked about different days, all that type of stuff, the different things. Can anybody tell me what number this is?
One.
One, you see that? Now, at the end, all of them, we leave, we're going to give this to Miss Grace, and y'all can work on this back there, and we're going to learn more about that number one and what happened on that first day. Now, here's something else I'm going to talk to you about. I got something in here. What do you think it is? Might be. What do you think? Let me give you a hint.
I think a light bulb.
Oh, a light bulb. Let's open it up. Let's open it up. I can get it open. Yeah. Help me out here. All right, can somebody pull this out in here? What do we say? Be real careful with it. Whoa, you're going to pass it around. Everybody see? Look at that thing. That's a big one.
Floodlight.
It's a big one. See it? See the light? Now remember, on the first day, God created darkness, but also light. And we look and we use these light bulbs when it's dark so that we can what? See better and see the light. And at the end of that day, when God created everything, he said it was what? What did God say? It was, you know what it was?
What?
It was good. Can we say that?
Yeah.
God created the light and the darkness, and it was good. And guess what? He created you and me, and that's also good. All right. Everybody that's here, and that's a good thing. Now, this is part one. Now we got part two this morning. We got something special. And Brandon's going to help us out, too. And we're going to have a picture made. But we're going to do something a little different. And parents, feel free to help with this. So let's get up here and stand up here. Lori and Mike have put together some things for us. So let's, you help with the gifts here, and we'll see what we can do, and we'll see if we can get a picture here. All right, come on over here. All right, come on over this way. Let's wait right here. All right, look at that. We got a picture. Ooh, look at that. Look, we'll line up, and we'll get it going. And then,
Allie.
All right, here we go. All right.
Jesse, this is for you. Michael, this is
here. Here's your shirt, bud. You want to hold it up? There you go. You like that shirt? Look at there. Whoa! That looks nice. You'll try it for a minute? Let's try it. Let's see if we can get it on for a second. Here we go. All right, you can leave that right there. We can get it. Let's see if we can get it.
For those of you out in cyberspace, the kids are currently putting on their Dawning shirts, handmade by Mike and Lori. I'm talking to cyberspace, Susan.
There we go. Perfect. Hey, great. Perfect.
You're doing great.
Now the children are energetically gathering together for a photo opportunity. On hand, dressed in his dress blues, is Brandon Hudson.
Yeah.
Thou shalt not Photoshop. Hey, buddy. All right. So, in keeping with today's children's story theme, God created out of chaos, and he said, let there be light. I don't have a problem with that. Our first text this morning is from Psalm 119. How happy are those whose way is blameless, who live according to the law of the Lord. Happy are those who keep his decrees and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They follow his ways. You have commanded that your precepts be kept diligently. If only my ways were committed to keeping your statutes, then I would not be ashamed when I think about all your commands. I will praise you with a sincere heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Never abandon me. May the Lord bless the reading and hearing of his holy word.
Our second congregational hymn this morning is going to be, I Need Thee Every Hour, hymn 423. We'll sing the first and last verses of 423. Let us stand and sing together.
So this morning we are blessed to have Allison Carlos with us. And as I said, she's in her third year at Duke Divinity School. And until she came to Duke, she had spent her entire life in California. She's born in Los Angeles area, attended University of San Francisco, and has spent the last 20 years outside of Sacramento in a town called Folsom. Is that how you say it? And Google Earth was kind to me this morning, because I don't know about you, but I kind of just clump all of California together foolishly. Some of my most famous fun would be more appropriate. Fun training in the Marine Corps was actually not far from where she lives, lived. So for 20 years, she has worked as a lay pastor and an elder board member. And she's come to Duke to really investigate church history, theology, and how to move the church in a broader sense in the ministry of reconciliation. How do we love God, and how do we love neighbor? And I think the sermon title might just capture everything, right? Choose life, right? Choose life. Allison, it is a pleasure to have you here this morning. She does have a husband named Clayton who's not here today, and she's got 1.5 grandkids. I couldn't figure that one out until I was like, oh, well, she has an adult son. She has one grandchild and one on the way. Got it. Yeah.
It is so nice to be with you today. Peace and greetings to you in the name of our Lord. It's a hard act to follow when you know that the children have come before you, because they pretty much have preached the word for you already. Let me pray, please. Would you join me? Lord, how grateful I am to be with these people. Lord, it is a privilege. I ask that you bathe these words for their hearing, and that in all ways our time together glorifies you. In Jesus' name, amen. A reading from Deuteronomy 30, 15 through 20. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God and to walk in his way and to keep his commands and decrees and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, then I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The word of the Lord. So, in Deuteronomy, we hear God's prophet Moses encouraging the Israelites to understand the choice that has been set before them and to choose wisely rather than that which will bring them ruin. Moses is at the near the end of his life, And he is not going to travel across the Jordan River because he himself has disobeyed God in the past. But he is exhorting them, as God has commanded him to do, to live rightly. He appeals for them to remember the laws and commandments that he's given for their benefit. They are encouraged to choose to love God, accepting what has been set before them, to adhere to his precepts for life and prosperity. Moses has traveled now for 40 years with this clan of his, really a family. 40 years, it's a long, long time. And some of you can probably relate to the shepherding that you've had to do with your own family. You've launched your children out of your doors, and you will launch your children out of your doors. My son called my list Mom's Life Lessons. And this reminds me of a parental wisdom I heard many, many years ago from a cultural icon. You might remember.
Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. Never discuss the family business. And be careful when the fella you're dining with comes back to the table.
And then my most favorite one.
Leave the gun, take the cannoli.
So you all know Don Corleone, the voice of Don Corleone. And he is imparting the best of what his wisdom is to the people that are leaving his presence. But Moses encourages far better. Choose to love God. Walk in his ways in life, not disobedience leading to death. The words are direct and pointed. It's standard covenantal grammar. If you choose rightly, then you will not die. Of course, the passage may present a challenge to anyone who holds a sour view of limited choice. I don't like limited choice. You like limited choice? It's a tough one to assume. Limited choice, that's the offer. We typically like options, autonomy, independence. And to not have that is so disruptive to our lives. On disruptive experiences, last Thanksgiving, on the break, my family, we all decided to go to one of those escape rooms. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of those, anybody? Well, they're basically a room where you're locked in and you have to solve all of these clues that are provided to go from room to get out. And what's ridiculous about it is you have to pay to be locked in the room. It took me a while to get behind what my family wanted to do, but we were a good team and we came out friends. So we were locked in the room. And we solved these series of clues to a murder mystery, a murder. And we unlocked the doors, and we were able to eventually exit. The business owner had set before us all of the clues that we would use. And the gist of the game was, if you entered the room and you were clever enough to solve all those clues, then you could leave. The if and the then. This game involved choice to be locked in, but then prescribed actions to get out. It's not a matter, though, of solving puzzling questions to unlock the series of doors that constitutes obedience to loving God. And that's what Moses is dealing with in Deuteronomy. It's not a series of things that we can put sequentially in order. And then all of a sudden we're into glory. That's not how it works. So the question is, what's at stake? What's at stake? You're in the locked room. Life's bearing down. You don't have a series of clues that are going to just lead you out. You feel a little boxed in. It happens sometimes, and we really aren't even noticing that we're in that box, in ordinariness of our lives. It just, all of a sudden, we just feel it. We're in the escape room. And we're asked to choose. We're asked to choose. Perhaps it is yet something like a news report that maybe healthcare costs are skyrocketing and we feel boxed in. And that our neighbor won't bring the garbage cans in after pickup and mow the lawn. And then we want to tell all the neighbors about it, and that really upsets us. We feel boxed in. We feel confined. We feel put upon. Or our neighbors look different than us. Or your sister in the church has offended you. What is at stake? Verse 17 says, "But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess." If you are drawn to bow down to other gods or idols and worship them, is that what's at stake? Could it be, are the gods and idols visible to us? Can we even see the clues of how they exist in our life? And do we think there's an order towards happiness? In what those gods and idols can deliver for us. Israel struggled with handcrafted images, golden calves. The God of Israel could not be characterized by such an image, though, because he revealed and continues to reveal himself through word. In the New Testament context, idols and gods are also conveyed as shapes, hewn into images. But Paul also speaks of transformation of the inner person in Colossians 3. "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, which are idolatry, and rid yourself of all things, such as anger and malice." A main framer of the Christian faith, St. Augustine of North Africa, put it this way: "What a person covets and sets in their heart and mind grows in them. And they become habituated to that and too oriented towards the darkness in life." Towards the darkness in life. Are we starting to see what's at stake? Are we starting to understand that in our own lives, what do we see as our own gods and idols? And how do we see them functioning in our most difficult times, even in the ordinary every single day? And let me tie this back to Deuteronomy. In that passage, we see God's provision to Israel to not orient to death. They are told by the law which way to turn for covenantal life. But just before a passage in Deuteronomy 30:14, Moses says, The word of God is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. So you can see it and obey it. It is that close. It's in our mouth. It's in our heart. So just prior to setting before the Israelites, there are two choices, God has told Israel, he's given them what they already need to succeed. He set it before them. In Hebrew, set before means to put or deliver sight or countenance. Countenance. Daily and ongoing. It's not a one-time deal. Let me just say that again, because I didn't know this before I got prepared to talk to you, and it struck me so profoundly. We think when we're set, something set before us, a meal, a gift, it's a transaction, a one-timer. It's to put or deliver to our sight and for our countenance something daily and ongoing. And that's true for you today. For his commandment is put in the heart of the believer. In Matthew 5, 21 through 26, in recounting Jesus' words, Matthew references Old Testament commandment in Exodus. You know the one, thou shalt not murder. But he puts it in the light of Christ. He says, you have heard that it is said to the people long ago, the Israelites, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer the gift. So what he's conveying is that while the law has its place, the grace of God by faith in Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit orients us in our spiritual understanding of that countenance, of that presence put to our mouth. But here's what's a little different from in Deuteronomy. Matthew is conveying by the words of Christ. The precepts that we keep are for our benefit and for the others' benefit with an eternal life focus. That the law could not alone provide. Eternal life. So what's at stake? What's at stake in the choice? Our choices can help us get out of the rooms. It's not terribly sequential in real life. But what's at stake is ourself, the other, and eternal life. That eternal focus is not only hope for the future, but it's about how you live now, knowing that it is material to eternity. It matters what you are today and how you are. Matthew references the law to explain the kind of righteousness that God seeks. He is teaching the Jews of his day that what they seek and understand in the law, but what is going to account for equal judgment is what's in the heart, such as anger. The text says, I say to you that if you are angry with your brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. In quoting what the law says, Jesus' words in the text penetrate to the spirit of the commandment. He's recognizing that the spring of a person's conduct is their heart, their inner person, and of the repercussions of a disordered heart. And that leads to idolatry. You who are in Christ, by grace-filled action of the Holy Spirit, are informed of the spiritual meaning of anger and its destructive consequences in your relationship with God and others and eternity. There can be repentance and inner transformation of the human heart. So the works of love and reconciliation occur, and eternal life with God is made possible. You live. The core message of Jesus' words in Matthew is that believers are held to account for things like anger, not merely for external acts of violence against others. In thinking about the choice of life and death, the choice is as relevant today as it is for the Israelites. It is a choice that is made narrow. It's a narrow field of options to surrender to the will of God in Christ or not. There's a promise that there's no promise that it will be easy. One scholar said, in reference to both Deuteronomy and Matthew, obeying Jesus is no easier than obeying Moses. By ordinary day-to-day situations, everyone knows, Jesus shows what life looks like under God's grace and demonstrates how now believing the news of the kingdom of God changes how we, as believers, orient our lives. So hear the gospel promise of Christ. It is by the grace of Christ, of God, in the faith of Christ, that you may know that your sin and God's righteousness and can be transformed in mind and heart for works of love. God reconciled himself to us, and he was the offended one. And so this kind of takes us back to our original consideration about choice and choosing. It is said that, yes, it can be said that, yes, our choice in God's order is limited. But the implications are eternal. And yes, this is novel and disruptive to an order of culture if it's built on pride and hard-heartedness and self-will. We can choose life with God by really understanding his way, what he cares about, and orienting our lives towards loving him, loving our neighbors as ourselves. Or we can just choose not to do that. But know that God has made provision and he leadeth you. By his grace, there is transformation on the inner and external self towards a righteous life of love, being reconciled to God and neighbor.
Thank you, Allison. I had a few students who talk about those escape rooms. And you know, that's a wonderful analogy of choosing. Yet, as I'm sitting there listening to Allison challenge us, I know that in the escape rooms, you can give up, right? You can give up. Now, I'm not here to challenge you to be quitters, okay? But from a theological standpoint, that's what we have to do. The only way we can really get out of the room is by the grace of God. And to fall to our knees and to say, you got to help me. You got to help me. Now, we do have choices, But we can't ascend our way up to heaven. I'm not saying Allison said that. As I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, life is that escape room where we're trapped. And the only way out is by the blood of the Lamb and the work that Jesus has done for us. Thank you, Allison.
Our hymn of invitation will be 81. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. We'll sing the first verse of hymn 81. Let us stand and sing together.
Allison's going to give us our benediction. Thank you.
Love the Lord. Choose the good. Hold fast to God so that you may flourish.
And all God's people said,
amen.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Oh, you hit the microphone.
Got it.
Don't pull. Let it go. You're just supposed to talk at it. Don't lick me, boy.
Thank you.
do. One online, it's 7 inches long, 23 inches.